helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Politicians are not only allowed to lie, they're expected to. We know the media focuses on the exception, not the everyday. They even have a term for it, the man bites dog story. When was the last time a politician fulfilling a campaign promise wasn't treated as a man bites dog story? So I doubt any of you will be surprised that the politicians in the stories I'm going to cover today are lying. But rather than just shaking your head in disgust, I want you to consider the following question. How can you tell when a politician is lying? The answer I generally get is similar to, their lips are moving. Now, while that might be quite a statement about the character of politicians, consider this. What does it say about the American people that we not only knowingly hire people who are lying to us to exercise our power in our name, and that the ones who lie the best, we keep around the longest? Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. And sure, we're going to be asking the question, how can you tell when a politician's lying? But I really want us to look inside. And what does it say about us? That the people who lie to us the most and the best, we keep around the longest. Could it be that the whole bromide, the whole idea that politicians lie when their lips move is not so much a question of the character of the politician, but of the American people? Let's take, for example, a recent speech Joe Biden gave at a union hall in Maryland. I didn't take the time to go through the whole thing because my stomach couldn't take it, but there were some very interesting whoppers in there, shall we say.
You heard me say many times, Wall Street didn't build America. No, they didn't build, they didn't. The middle class built America. And unions built the middle class.
I'd like to point out to Mr. Biden that, yes, middle class men and women did the physical job of building the infrastructure, the building, so much of part of it, and that should not be ignored. But where did the businesses come where did they get the money to build those things? They didn't get it from the middle class. Well, they got some of it from the middle class because your government confiscated it in taxes and then spent it like it was monopoly money. But notice what we have here. Here we have a politician. Rather than recognizing, yes, we need Wall Street, we need finance in order to fund the infrastructure and other projects that build our economy, and we need men and women willing to work at all levels to do all sorts of things in order for that to get done. It should be a symbiotic relationship. And when it is a symbiotic relationship, America does great things. But when it's divided, as Mr. Biden was attempting to do recently in this union hall, well, then it falls apart. Then it crumbles because all those blue-collar jobs are dependent on the money that often comes from Wall Street and large corporations building and doing things. So the lie that, the lie is the half-truth, right? It's not a lie that the middle class helped build this country. The lie is that Wall Street had nothing to do with it. But that was just the warm-up. Wait till you hear what comes next.
For the past 2 years, we've been carrying out my economic plan that grows the economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not the top down.
Let me ask you, how well has the economy been growing? Put it this way, how well has your economic situation been growing? I went to the store the other day to buy a dozen eggs. It cost $5 a dozen for plain old eggs. Everything's become more expensive. Is that what he means by growing the economy? Or maybe when he says that the economy, his economic plan is working, maybe the question we should be asking, what is the goal he has with his economic plan? Again, as usual, we've got to throw in a bromide because that's kind of what politicians do.
Look, this trickle-down economy, I never watched much of a trickle on my dad's kitchen table.
You know, it's funny. I've heard politicians complaining about trickle-down economics for 40 years. Interestingly, I think every one of them has been a Democrat. I'm not 100% sure. I'm only 99 and 44, 100% sure. But what is this trickle-down that Joe Biden's talking about? Well, for an answer, I go to an economist that I've seen, not only because I love the way he talks, but he's been right. And I don't mean occasionally. I mean, he has been right so often. The person I'm talking about is Thomas Sowell.
Where does this phrase trickle down come from?
Oh, I don't know. It was as far back as the Roosevelt administration. There is absolutely, it is an incredible thing. There is a non-existent theory that is constantly being attacked. Some years ago in my newspaper column, I challenged anybody to cite any economist outside of an insane asylum who had ever made that argument. Nobody ever came up with a single person.
So when Barack Obama says in this past July, quote, we were told that prosperity.
Who told him?
Nobody told him.
Nobody told him.
No economist has ever held that. No politician has ever said it.
I don't know of anybody who's ever said it. In fact, when I put this out, and I went out a nationally syndicated column, various people wrote me and said, well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said it. Find me the person who said it. I don't want to hear how A said that B said. Find me B and show me where he said it. And that was years ago. Not one example has been offered.
So I find it interesting that Thomas Sowell would give a cash prize to anybody who could find an economist, an actual economist, not in the same asylum, proposing the idea of trickle-down economics. But the person interviewing him, I think, wrapped this up excellently.
All right. So trickle-down economics is not a political theory. It is a political, I beg your pardon, it's not an economic theory. It is a political hack phrase. Used.
It's a caricature.
Caricature.
Yeah. In other words, the argument really is not that you should put more money in the hands of the wealthy. It's also part of a zero-sum conception of the economy. There's the thought that if you cut the tax rates on the rich, why then there'll be less taxes for the government, or you'll have to raise the taxes on other people to make up the difference, or cut programs and so forth.
So again, what we see is Thomas Sowell dealing with facts and data, which is one of the reasons why I love him. But it's this idea of this phrase, trickle-down economics, is not an economic theory. It is a political tool. It's meant to deride political opposition. But I want to follow up with one last thing from this interview, because I just think it is so, so excellent.
So what about this notion, George Bush, it was a giveaway that George Bush cut taxes on the rich, and if he had not done that, the budget would be much closer to balance. He was just giving it away. Pointless. The sheer pointlessness.
Yes, but in the paper, I point out where the New York Times itself says, you know, there's been an unexpectedly large increase in tax revenues from the wealthy and from corporations, which has reduced the projected budget deficit. And the question, yes, expectations are in the eyes of the beholder.
Unexpected by the New York Times.
Unexpected by the New York Times, exactly. Right. But that's exactly what people have been expecting for more, at that point, three quarters of a century, and which has been happening, and the New York Times just chose not to understand.
So again, here we have a straw man, right? That you tax breaks go to the rich and it never gets down anywhere. But what's interesting is you find out that tax breaks damage the budget. They run deficits, only to find out that if you look at the data, and by the way, this isn't, the New York Times wasn't taking data out of midair. You go to the Office of Management and Budget. You go to the Department of Treasury and you look at their tax revenue. And every time there is a tax cut, tax revenues go up. But you see, we have a politician here in Mr. Biden who is not interested in my opinion, is not interested in facts and data. He's interested in his political future, the political future of his party, and truth and data just get in the way.
My economy is working.
But working for who? Working to what end? You know, it's interesting, and I want to go through some of the examples of President Biden uses as how his economy is, quote-unquote, working. But I don't want you to simply throw that away as a political line. Maybe it is working. The question is, maybe the plans he has is not what you think when you think about the economy. See, one of the things I think is often lost on people is the basis of socialism is you have to make people so miserable they will turn to government for a solution. And ladies and gentlemen, if that is Mr. Biden's plan, yes, his economic plan is working. It is making people miserable. It's making people dependent on government. And that may be his exact goal. Now, I've said it plenty of times. You've got lies, darn lies, and statistics. So let's take a look at some of the statistics Joe Biden is using and maybe tell the rest of the story.
Look, the last 2 years, we've created 12 million new jobs. That's more jobs than any president created in 4 years.
Well, let's recognize presidents don't create jobs. Government doesn't create jobs because every job they create, they steal the money from the economy. But he said, okay, we created 12 million new jobs. I have an interesting question, Mr. Biden. How many jobs did you destroy before you started creating them? So I went looking. Now, the first place I checked out was Statista. They have a statistic showing the monthly number of job losers in the United States between January 2021 and January 2023. So we're talking during the Biden administration. Do you know how many jobs have been lost? Over 90 million, 90 million. Now, that doesn't mean there are that many jobs where people aren't still working, right? But these are the people who have lost jobs and then found other jobs, which would be the jobs I believe Mr. Biden's talking about. So if you lose 90 million, but you get 12 of them back, that's supposed to be an economic plan that's working?
The unemployment rate is 3.4%. That's a 50-year low.
Now, I'm assuming that what President Biden wants you to assume is that it's the unemployment rate is that low because, well, we've created so many new jobs. But take a look at how they calculate that unemployment. You see, they have this thing called the labor force participation rate. You know, there's a number of people that are not even participating in the labor force. Right now, there are almost 3 million missing workers. That's, by the way, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. A third of the people eligible to work are not working. Does that sound like a working economic plan? Apparently to Mr. Biden it does.
Gas prices are down $1.60 a gallon. They're going to come down further from their peak.
But he fails to mention that when he took office, gas was about $2.30 a gallon. He's talking about taking $1.60 off $5+ a gallon gas. In other words, gas has to go down more than a dollar simply to get to where Biden started. Is that his economic plan working? Actually, it may be, being how much he seems to hate fossil fuels.
And inflation is coming down.
Where is inflation coming down? It's not coming down anywhere. It's coming down from the peak, the worst, but it's still, twice as high as it was when he took office.
Take-home pay for workers has gone up.
Even PolitiFact says that's only half true. Yes, the past two quarters, wages have outpaced inflation, but that's already been eaten away by the inflation we've suffered earlier during this administration. So how is Biden think he's making the economy better?
I signed the bipartisan infrastructure law. Once in a generation investment, putting Americans to work, rebuilding our nation's infrastructure.
Understand that when a politician says that they're investing money, they're stealing it from you first. Because every dollar of that infrastructure plan first came out of the pockets of an actual producing American citizen. Someone who made money, who actually worked for a living, created something, and then had that confiscated so that the government could waste trillions of dollars, or at least hundreds of billions of dollars, building infrastructure, by the way, which has nothing to do with actually most of the infrastructure. Most of it is being spent to get you off of fossil fuels and onto the same green revolution that's destroying the planet. I talked yesterday about the mining that needs to be done to do all the to pay for all the, to get the materials for all the quote unquote investments Joe Biden says he's made. And by the way, I keep blaming Joe Biden. He's promoting this, but let's face it. It's Congress that passed that bill. It's Congress that passed, did most of the legislative work. Some of the stuff was executive action, but so your representatives are the ones ripping you off and destroying the economy. And sure, this guy is taking credit for it, but most of what he says isn't true. And we shouldn't be surprised. Why? Because he's a politician. Therefore, when his lips are moving, he's probably lying. But we put him there. Argue about the election or not, we ended up putting this man in office, taking credit for destroying the economy. See, his economic plan is working because it's making you dependent on government. Now, I have more to go to, but I've got to take a break. Before I do, though, please head to HealthyCell.com. They've got wonderful products. They are a leading innovator in nutrient and supplements that work at the cellular level. One that I absolutely love is called Focus and Recall. Helps boost my short-term memory, my short-term focus, and my long-term memory, all with a simple-to-use travel-ready gel pack. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order if you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, help Focus and Recall or any of their great products, but make sure you use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes. The number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. This is not only where we read and study the Constitution, we teach the rest of generation free, but we look at politicians and we ask ourselves, what does it say about the American people when you look at who we hire to represent us, to exercise our power in our name? If the answer to how can you tell when a politician is lying is their lips are moving, what does it say about us that we have, that we knowingly have our power exercised by people that are lying to us? Now, the first segment, I went over a speech Joe Biden gave talking about how great his economic plan is working. And again, I suppose it depends on what the goal of the economic plan is. If the goal of the economic plan is to bankrupt the American people, bankrupt the federal government, make people dependent on government, and by the way, get rid of fossil fuels and make us dependent on the quote-unquote green energy that actually pollutes the world worse than the fossil fuels we're currently using, hey, he wants people to freeze to death, then I guess his plan is working. But he talked a lot about investments, which, again, government doesn't invest money. Government steals money to invest for you. Now, here's another one. He wants to steal $231 million to bribe cities and states to deprive you of your rights protected by the Constitution. That is exactly what he said. He's announced that the Department of Justice has $231 million that it wants to offer to states to do things like red flag laws. Now, what is a red flag law? A red flag law is it basically says, listen, a certain group of people defined by the law get to say, we're worried about this person, take away his rights to keep and bear arms without any due process. We come in, we get a judge without probable cause, out real probable cause, right? Because it's just somebody saying something. No, without probable cause, they issue a warrant, they steal your guns, then after some amount of time, depending on the state and the law, you get a chance to go before a judge and prove that you're not a danger to society, where you're basically guilty until proven innocent. Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants to steal your money to take away, to bribe the states to take away your rights. And while they keep telling, well, you know, this could have potentially stopped shooters in Parkland and other tragedies, except they've never worked. Because the interesting thing about the Parkland and other tragedies that Biden was referring to is people said, you know, we're kind of worried about this kid. Maybe somebody should do something. And nobody did a thing. And it wasn't because there weren't laws that allowed it. It's because people, for one reason or another, didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to stand up and say, you know what, this person may be an issue. Family members didn't stand up and say, you know what, maybe this person is dangerous. Maybe we should hold on to their guns for them. Maybe we should go to the police and say, we're worried about this. And when they do go to the police rarely do anything because the vast majority of times, there's nothing behind this. See, it's the man bites dog of who knows how many calls to the police that says so-and-so may be dangerous. What percentage actually are dangerous? My guess it is pretty low. Now, again, it's not just Biden. I saw this great clip from Dr. Walensky, the director of the CDC. And this was during testimony before a congressional panel.
So I believe you're referring to the Cochrane Review study. This is an important study, but the Cochrane Review only includes randomized clinical trials. And as you can imagine, many of the randomized clinical trials that were included in that were for other respiratory viruses, not COVID-19. Some of them were for COVID-19, just to be clear. But it is very different for COVID-19 because you have a virus that different from flu, potentially different from SARS or MERS, transmits before you actually have symptoms. It's also the case that one of the limitations in that study was clearly stated that people were not actually engaged in the intervention. So you actually have to wear the mask for it to work.
See, you have to understand, in my mind, Director Walensky is not a doctor. She's a politician. So when she comes in here and says, well, they only use randomized control trials. Well, isn't that what the CDC and Fauci is saying? We had to have randomized control trials? And she said, well, they weren't all for COVID-19. Yeah, they were. The purpose of a mask is to prevent certain viruses from being inhaled. And a lot of these viruses are roughly the same size. So it doesn't take a physicist to figure out that if the holes in a mask are 1,000 times larger than the virus, it ain't going to work very well. So the fact that they were looking at multiple respiratory viruses proves the masks don't work for any of them. But then she goes on, well, COVID is different because you can transmit it without actually showing symptoms. To my knowledge, there is not a single test, there's not a single study that shows asymptomatic testing. And then she goes on to say, well, you know, you actually have to wear the mask. That was part of the studies. These masks don't work. But then she was asked another interesting question.
Why are we masking our kids today? You know, thank you. Also, so our guidance for school-based masking is related to our COVID-19 community levels. And fortunately, we're in a place now in this country where most of our country is in green or yellow, has low or moderate transmission or COVID-19 community levels. And in those situations, we actually don't recommend masking. We recommend it for high COVID-19 community.
So she's telling us, well, you know, if there's high COVID-19 in the community, you should mask. Not whether or not the masks actually work, but you're talking about masking kids, and all the data shows kids are the least likely to contract COVID-19. They're the least likely to die from COVID-19. And again, there's not a single study that shows children passing COVID-19 on to adults. So there's no scientific reason. There's only a political reason.
So what is your timeline for updating, reevaluating these guidance?
You know, our masking guidance doesn't really change with time. What it changes with is disease. So when there's a lot of disease in a community, we recommend that those communities and those schools mask. When there's less disease in the community, we recommend that those masks can come off.
So apparently it doesn't change over time. It also doesn't change based on science. It doesn't change based on evidence. It doesn't change based on data. It basically changes based on the politics. Oh, yeah, we're seeing a lot of COVID there, so put your mask on. Masks don't work. Well, no, we don't. You haven't proven that masks don't work. You got it backwards, lady. You have to prove that they do work. But again, I say she's a politician, not a doctor anymore. She may hold a license. She may hold the title, but she doesn't live like a doctor. She lives like a politician, which may make this next story make a little more sense. You see, the CDC, this very same one that Ms. Walensky heads, wants to set up a new set of codes for documenting patients. Now, you know, since the federal government's pretty much taken over the medical record system, they've destroyed it all. They come up with codes for everything, and everything's a code. Well, now they want a new code. They want a code for the unvaccinated. At least for COVID-19. In other words, if you don't take the untested jab, the one that's not been tested for safety, it's not been tested for effectiveness, it's been proven not to stop the spread of COVID-19. It's been proven to have a detrimental effects to many people who take it. They want to mark you now in your medical records. See, from the CDC proposal, people have now been having immunizations for a number of months, and these provide protection for people who are immunized. By the way, that's a bald-faced lie, because the immunized are the ones getting COVID. Continuing, though. But there have been interest expressed in being able to track people who are not immunized or who are only partially immunized. The CDC wants to track you if you don't bow the knee to their political will. You know what? If a doctor asks me if I've had the jab, my answer is none of your business. Because if you're telling me you're going to put it in the medical records that I've not been jabbed, that's none of the CDC's business. I can't trust my doctor anymore because these politicians in the CDC have destroyed the medical practice in America. And we're suffering the consequences of it. But it's not just the CDC. How about the Department of Defense? Now, let's face it. The Department of Defense, the military, they're supposed to have one primary focus: to kill people and break things. Right? When we need to defend ourselves, they need to be prepared to go out and deal with the people who are threatening us. That means killing people and breaking things. Now, did you know the Department of Defense actually has a diversity, equity, and inclusion chief for their schools? That's right. There's a person whose job it is to turn all of our our soldiers, our airmen, our seamen and Marines into compliant racists. Come to find out, she's a racist herself. See, Khaleesi Wing, now she's since deleted the tweet, but back in June of 2020 tweeted, "I'm so exhausted at these white folks in these professional development sessions." This lady actually had the audacity to say that black people can be racist too. "I had to stop the session and get Karen the business. We are not the majority. We don't have power." All right, let's listen to this. Let's take a look and break down this racist little rant. White folks. So she's exhausted with white folks in professional development. There was actually a lady, and I love caudacity. C-A-U, capital C-A-U. Oh, because she's Caucasian. And she said that black people can be racist too. And she had to give this Karen the business. A lady who has power says, "They're not in the majority. We don't have power." She has power. And she's using her racist rants to intimidate people. And in fact, there are critics who say that that Wing claims that racism is ingrained in the very fabric of our country. When critics took issue with that, you know what this DEI chief response was? "Bye, Karen." The people who we expect to protect our lives, our Constitution, and our country are being taught by racists. "Paul, you can't say that." Oh, yes, I can. And now we've got evidence to prove it. So let me ask this racist, where's the diversity if you're not allowed to have opposing opinions? Where's the equity when white people are not allowed to participate? Where's the inclusion when you exclude entire races of people simply because of the color of their skin? That, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of racism. And what's sad is in America today, there are two types of bigotry that are not only allowed, but in many cases embraced and promoted. Now, one is the bigotry against white people. The other is a bigotry against Christians. Now, there's a Christian in California, a teacher, who lost her job. Do you know why? Because the school district had a policy that required her to lie to her students' parents about any gender transition. And she refused. She is a former physical education teacher. And she has told others that she refused to allow biological males in the girls' locker room and would not agree to the Jurupa Unified School District's privacy policy that required teachers to hide requests made by students regarding their pronouns or gender identity. In other words, to lie to the parents. See, the Jurupa Unified School District is not setting an education policy. That's a political policy. They're lying to the parents. They're lying to the students saying, "Hey, you feel like a boy today, you feel like a girl today, go wherever you want." And what are the consequences we're suffering from all of this? Well, here's another example of someone supposedly in the medical industry that's just another politician lying to everyone.
Example would be the quote-unquote don't say gay law in Florida. You know, studies show that one supportive adult for an LGBTQI plus kid can make all the difference in terms of preventing suicide, in terms of them being able to navigate the world and to adulthood and leading a happy, successful, productive life.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Yeah, I love this. What study? Name one study. They're not out there. In fact, what we find interesting is there are studies that show things like hormone therapy and gender transition surgery do not decrease the use, the instances of suicide among teenagers. It does not lower depression. This is just another politician with another political agenda to approve her perverted ways, his perverted ways. Sorry, it's a he. It's he pretending to be a she. and trying to get your indoctrinate your kids into that. Now, I agree. If someone is confused, I'd love to see a supportive adult help them. But this dude's understanding of a supportive adult is says, yeah, go ahead, get your shots, get your junk cut off. Rather than saying, okay, why are you confused about who you are? Why are you confused about the actual facts of your body? And how can we help you deal with this, recognizing that the vast majority of the time, these things resolve themselves naturally as the child progresses through puberty? But you see, it's not about taking care of the children. And it's not about decreasing suicide. It's about using the mental confusion, the depression, and the sad death of these children to promote a political agenda. That makes him one of the worst liars I've talked to so far. Because, well, yes, Biden is trying to destroy the country. This man is trying to destroy your children. And I don't care that he dresses up like a woman and calls himself Rochelle. It's a dude, because I have a brain in my head and I recognize when I'm looking at a male versus when I'm looking at a female, even though this guy apparently can't. Now, I have some good news for you, some things to kind of lift your heart before we're done, but I have to take a break first. Before I do, though, I want to remind you, you know, the Constitution Study is only one of many voices heard on America Out Loud. That makes it a great place to go every day to find the latest news, what's going on, get different points of view on what is actually going on. But it's more important than ever, as we listen to these politicians lying to us, as the news media and the pundits just cram garbage and lies and falsehoods down our throat, that we show people that there is more, that there's a rest of the story, there's the other side of the argument. And we can't do it alone. This is where you have to do your part. Take the stories, take the articles, take the podcasts, take the videos, take all of these resources and share them. Share them with friends, share them with family, share them on social media, share them wherever you can. See, by sharing the news, by sharing the other side of the story, that is how we secure the blessings of liberty. Not by shutting down speech, but by encouraging better speech.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today, we're asking, how can you tell when a politician's lying? More importantly, I'm hoping we're looking at ourselves to say, why do we hire such liars, such fabricators, such the refuse of society to exercise our power in our name? See, the constitutions of most of our states recognize that all power is inherent in the people, that we create governments and we delegate to them certain powers to exercise for us, and that we hire people through elections to do that for us. And really, are these people the best we can find? Is this truly a representation of truth and justice and the American way? By the way, those of you old enough, that used to be the motto of Superman. Now it's diversity and inclusion. Before I get to some of the good news, I got one more piece of bad news I got to give you. And of course, it comes out of California. Right? If there's a communist state in this country, it's California, followed very closely by New York, probably then Michigan and Illinois. But California just seems to go, let's just destroy the rights of every one of our citizens because we can. Because the citizens will let us. See, California has what's called a civil rights department. And right now, they are trying to force a burger chain known as Shake Shack. They wanted to pay a former employee $20,000 because this person was quote unquote misgendered in the workplace. Now I'm reading an article from the Daily Signal. They refer to it as a he. He says that he was repeatedly misgendered, which, if I'm guessing, that means it's a lady that's pretending to be a dude. But apparently this person complained to management that the co-workers wouldn't use the pronouns they wanted. And when the management said, listen, you have to explain to your co-workers, because that's it. They look at you and they see one thing. You can't expect them to magically know you're something. You want to be called something other than, well, what the English language construction actually uses. And when she didn't get her way, she went to the government. And she filed a complaint. See, because California has a law that prohibits intentional misgendering in the workplace. By the way, that law, null and void. Do you know why? Because California has a constitutional amendment protecting the right to freedom of speech. You see, Article 1 of the California Constitution, their Declaration of Rights, Section 2 says, every person may freely speak, write, and publish his or her sentiments on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of this right. A law may not restrain or abridge liberty of speech or press, which is exactly what this California law does. It says you don't have the right to freedom of speech because, well, you have to somehow magically discern what somebody wants to be called. And think about just how ridiculous, how ludicrous this could go. See, back in 2018, a 69-year-old Dutch man went to court because he wanted to identify as a 49-year-old because it would help him on a dating app. That didn't happen in the U.S., but really, is that any different than what's happening here in California? Or what about Ms. Dozalau? Dozalau. She, by the way, is the white woman that pretended to be black so that she could head up the NAACP chapter in her area. I mean, just think of how ridiculous this is. This is what happens when you let communists, Marxists, totalitarians run a state. You wonder why people are running from California? It's because of nonsense like that. But I did say there was good news. I want to give you some good news before the end of the program. Now, I don't agree with everything that's going on here, but in general, what I'm talking about here is good news. See, a new bill, and by the way, this is one of my favorite types of bills. It's a two-page bill. All right, so we're not a big involved bill. This has been proposed in the U.S. Senate. The bill is to prohibit federal funds from being made available to facilities that refuse to provide treatment based on COVID-19 vaccination status. Now, if you're interested, this has been submitted by Senators Paul, Johnson, Lee, Cotton, and Rubio. Loomis, Vance, and Braun, and Kramer. They're all on the list. And it's very simple. I love these nice, simple bills, right? Being enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives, this act may be cited as a COVID-19 Vaccination Non-Discrimination Act. It basically says, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, no funds authorized or appropriated by federal law, and none of the funds in any trust fund to which funds are authorized or appropriated by federal law, including funds provided under Titles 18, 19, 21 of the Social Security Act, shall be made available to any facility that refuses to provide treatment to an individual based on the COVID-19 vaccination status of such individual. Now, you have to remember, I've told this story before. I haven't told in a while. My wife has MS, and she sees a neurologist. And her previous neurologist refused to see her anymore because she refused a COVID-19 fake vaccine, the experimental drug called the COVID-19 vaccine. This would merely mean that this doctor would no longer be able to get federal funds. I'm curious, would that include Medicare funds? Be an interesting question. I'd like to, you know, I'd have to research what is included in titles 18, 19, and 21 of the Social Security Act. But here you have, now this is why I say I'm concerned with some of these, right? Because for one thing, the federal government bribes way too many people with money they're not authorized to spend. So my issue isn't so much with this legislation, it's the fact that the federal government wields so much power through this bribery. So all you're really talking about is saying, listen, if you want to continue to be bribed with federal funding, you cannot discriminate against those who won't take the COVID-19 vaccine. It's a step in the right direction, right? And I thank those senators for proposing it. Again, reality check. Do I really expect it's going to go anywhere? Not in a Senate controlled by the Democrats, because they just love telling people how to live their lives. Well, we all love to tell people how to live their lives. They love using government power to force people to comply with their worldview. And that includes, by the way, submitting to illegal, unauthorized jabs as a condition of living in this country, or at least living free in this country. Now, there's another one, and I'm actually, this is in the House. This is a bill in the House that has been proposed by Representative Massey. And I'm actually hoping I can get him to come on the radio program to discuss this more, because it's a very interesting. Now, I looked, there is no text to this yet. It's H.R. 899, and it's titled To Terminate the Department of Education. And I want to hear Representative Massey's words on this, because I think it would be really interesting. But the Kentucky representative announced the other day this legislation, and he says, I have introduced a bill to terminate the Department of Education. There is no constitutional authority for this federal bureaucracy to exist. That's a tweet he sent out announcing this legislation. Now, why do I love it? Well, first of all, the Department of Education, not only is there no constitutional authority for the bureaucracy, I contend that it currently does not legally exist. I've talked about my two-minute drill many, many, many times, but let's look at it here. The Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution, says this Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuant thereof are the supreme law of the land. So in order for the legislation that created the Department of Education to be the supreme law of the land, it must be made pursuant to the Constitution. But the 10th Amendment says a power not delegated to the United States nor prohibited by to the states are retained by the states and the people, respectively, and the people. So if you look through the Constitution, you will not find the power to regulate education anywhere. That means this law was not made pursuant to the Constitution. But Paul, you've got the General Welfare Clause. That's right. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, which says Congress can lay and collect taxes to pay the debts, provide for the common defense, and the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, proper noun, the very same proper noun used in the 10th Amendment that says, if we didn't say you can do it, you can't do it. Now, some will say, well, what about the Commerce Clause? But they're not regulating commerce. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, I believe, says Congress can regulate commerce between the states. But they're not regulating commerce between the states. This is regulating education, which pretty much by definition doesn't cross states. But Paul, what about the Necessary and Proper Clause? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18 says that Congress can make all laws necessary and proper to putting into effect the powers delegated to the United States. And since this is not a power delegated to the United States, not only is it not necessary, it was improper for Congress to pass this legislation. Now, according to both Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Paper 78 and the Supreme Court in the case Marbury versus Madison, this law, which is repugnant to the Constitution, is void. It's empty. It's meaningless. By the way, it also means that the probably trillions of dollars that have been sucked out of your pocket to give to the Department of Education, well, that was embezzlement because it was fraudulently taken. Now, again, I want to talk. I'm hoping Representative Massey will join me in a brief discussion about this because I think you'd like to hear his point of view. I'd like to hear his point of view. I'm working on that. But it's like, how do you fix the problem? All right, we just terminate the Department of Education. Now, part of the reason I ask is there's no text behind this bill, at least as of the last time I checked, which is just before I recorded this. But the reason is, how do you go about doing it? Is he planning on just going cold turkey? Is he planning on a weaning process? There are a lot of questions I'd love to hear what he's thinking about as he's drafting the actual text of this legislation. But there you go. There are two pieces of legislation that are good. Getting rid of the Department of Education, preventing federal funds from being used by organizations that discriminate against those who refuse to be medical guinea pigs. These are good things. But I got more good news for you. And the good news for you, believe it or not, is actually something you can do. See, take the idea of this legislation. Again, both the pieces of federal legislation. Why aren't we doing that thing at the state and local level? In other words, at the state and local level, why is there not legislation that says, hey, you cannot, if you accept state dollars, if you accept dollars from the county or the city, you cannot discriminate against someone for not taking the COVID-19 jab. Or, you know, at the state and county level, no, you can no longer accept federal funds, which also means you no longer need to comply with federal regulations. And I'd love, please, if someone out there is involved in a school district or a school board, and you can find this out, please let me know. Go to the website, constitutionstudy.com, either contact me or ask a question. I'd love to find out somebody that goes through and determines how much it costs to comply with the federal education regulations and compare that to the actual federal money that you receive. Because I think that would be a very, very important question. But let me come back to what I was talking about. Let's start at the county level. Let's start at the city level. Let's start at the state level. Because, you know, the odds of these two pieces of legislation being passed at the federal level are somewhere between slim and none. That's just the dissension natural to party politics, the vision and the fracture between the parties pretty much says they're not going to pass something that the other party likes. There's not going to be a lot of compromise. Now, maybe I'm wrong. That's why I say slim to none. But it's not likely that either of these pieces of legislation. But let's not wait for Washington, D.C. How about we start doing this right here? You know, when the CDC added the COVID-19 jab, the fake vaccine, and they added it to their childhood immunization schedule, I drafted legislation called the Save Our Children from Medical Experimentation Act. And I promoted it. I sent it to every state legislator I could find. And the act was pretty simple. It said no state agency or department or any organization accepting state funds could require, as part of the participation or employment, following the CDC immunization schedule. You couldn't require it by name. It also said that you could not require the use of an experimental, a non-FDA licensed product as a condition for participation or employment. And the sad part is, I actually went to a state legislator conference, and I got, as far as I know, I got no real response. No politicians picked it up and said, hey, this is a great idea. Let's do this. And I think I know why. I think it's because the people weren't beating down their door going, hey, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we protecting our children from these criminal tyrants in Washington trying to turn them into medical guinea pigs? You've got to do something, folks. You could introduce, by the way, again, go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. Just search for Save Our Children from Medical Experimentation Act. And then take that, we'll take it to your county, take it to your state, and say, why are we not doing this? Don't ask them, will they support it? Ask them, why in God's name are we not trying to save our children from this egregious imposition? Because a lot of states require students go through the CDC immunization schedule as a condition of going to public school or being in daycare or Head Start or any one of a number of childhood programs. Let's stop asking our politicians. Let's start demanding that they do what their employers want them to do. whether that's protecting our children from medical experimentation, from the illegal Department of Education, or the abuse of COVID-19 quote-unquote vaccinations. Now, I want to remind you to join me every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network, for the Constitution Study. And by the way, bring friends, bring family, help others find us. You can always send them a link to the webpage. They've got the media player there, or they can find us on the apps, our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. Also, my shows go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. So you can find them on your favorite podcast app, whatever you use. But do me a favor. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate and review the show, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. See, it's by sharing this information. It's by pointing out the evil that's going on and by sharing the tools and possibilities of fixing these problems that we will make a difference in this country. But I can't do it alone. I need your help. So go to AmericaOutloud.com homepage and you'll find all the links I've been talking about. But you need to share them. See, by me creating this content and then you sharing this content, then we get to work together. And it also means we can share the blessings of liberty, not just with ourselves, not just with our families, but with every American from sea to shining sea.